Hi there, welcome back. Today I want to talk about something that is a little bit taboo. Right now we're in the middle of the Fix My Life series. We just got done talking about Pinterest and how I basically saw a huge crash in my business just because Pinterest changed their algorithm. But now I want to talk about something that's a little bit more difficult, but literally every single one of us has to deal with it, and that is finances. Finances when you run a business, finances when you, are alive and have to like live and pay bills and stuff, and finances when you honestly don't know what you're doing, but you found that all this weird stuff falls into your lap when you're trying to make income on the side or you're using Etsy as your primary source of income. So basically what I want to talk about is how I got here and how little I know about finances and how I managed to figure out how to make it work anyway. I was your classic total financial disaster. The only reason that I did not graduate with a ton of debt is literally because number one, I had a scholarship, and number two, I went to the university where my father taught. So for those of you who don't know, if your parent teaches at a university or blood relative, you can go for free. It's called tuition remission. And I got incredibly lucky that my father was a college professor. So that is the only reason I graduated without debt, but I promptly managed to get myself into plenty of it.
I hear ya.
So a lot of people start this journey down the Etsy path because they're trying to pay off debt. I started my journey down the Etsy path because I was in a dead-end job. I believe I was making maybe like $27,000 a year in a corporate job. I was finding it wasn't enough for me in particular. I was living in an expensive city in the UK with a mortgage, and I was struggling. Like, I didn't know how to manage my finances, so I wasn't doing a very good job. At the end of the month, I was kind of like, oh my God, I have to buy a loaf of bread now. I can't tell you how many times I begged my husband for like $100 or $200 or even just for like free dinner. So let's talk about what kind of happened from there. I started selling on Etsy specifically to get side income so I could have a savings account. At that point, I'd maybe had like, a savings account with a couple hundred dollars in it, maybe when I was a little kid, but it was long since spent. So here I was in my late 20s, early 30s, and I was like,
I don't have any savings.
So when it came time for me to take a look at my life and I realized I hate my job, I'm really miserable, I don't want to do this anymore, and I have no way to leave it because I have no way to pay my bills because I have zero savings. So I realized I could either take the leap and force my husband to bear the brunt of my previous mistakes and basically force him to pay for me as I, petulantly quit my own job without telling him and move forward, or I could be an adult and figure it out myself and kind of create a savings account. I hadn't asked my husband any of this, so I didn't even check to see if it was okay with him if I left my job, because I just didn't feel right stepping forward without asking him. And when I did, of course, he was like, I would really rather that you found a way to create a savings account for yourself so you could leave so we don't have to take this financial risk, which made total sense. So I decided that I was going to start selling stuff on Etsy for a little bit of side income. I started off by selling websites and, graphic design, because that was kind of the trade I was in. I had been making websites for about 7 or 8 years at that point. So I started selling websites on Etsy. It actually went shockingly well.
Hey kids, it's the internet.
To the point where I was working 80 hours a week between my full-time job and my Etsy job. I was really quite exhausted and I didn't want to do it anymore. I wasn't making that much on Etsy doing what I was doing because I couldn't charge very much for my services, but I was spending a ton of time doing it. So I was kind of just trading all my time for money, and that wasn't a very pleasant way for me to go about doing life in general. So I started to find other ways to make money, and that's when I switched to selling home decor on Etsy, because I realized that it was just going to be more straightforward for me, where I didn't have to trade as much time for money. I could sell one item for $10 and work 2 to 3 minutes to make it and then ship it off. So In my situation, that actually worked out really well because about 6 months later, I was beating that corporate salary of mine. So I was really happy about that. But I still didn't understand the financial end of anything. I understood that I had extra money. I understood that I could quit my job at that point. I knew I wanted to just continue working on Etsy because I didn't want to work for anyone else. I was spoiled. I wanted to be my own boss. And I knew that I'm pretty much unemployable. I'm not a very cooperative employee. So I kind of knew that that was going to be the way forward. The problem was, like, things didn't look perfect. You know, money was patchy. It would come a lot some months and not as much other months, or I'd find things that really did really, really well sometimes, but I couldn't replicate that. And nothing was really turning out the way that I thought it would. Money was coming in, but like I felt like I was missing some magical piece of the puzzle. And I felt like I wasn't capable of making serious sales, even though I was making a lot of money. I wasn't seeing extreme consistency that made me feel safe. So if you can relate, that's because, as it turns out, as I know now, you're normal. So what I didn't realize at the time was no one, and I mean no one, usually just opens up an online store and starts making real money off the bat with extreme consistency. And all those things are skills that you develop over time from learning and experimenting. And you're probably like, oh, well, I read an article where so-and-so, or you're like, oh, I heard about this one shop. Let's just stop right there for a minute. Those people are exceptions. Just like people who win the lottery, we read about those people too. And none of us are sitting back thinking, well, I should be winning the lottery right now. My God, that would be nice. If we could just all win the lottery, I'd be really freaking happy. And I wish it would happen right now. Just going to put that out into the universe. But the reality is like, these people are the exceptions. I've never met a lottery winner. Have you? God, I wish I had. Maybe you'll be an exception. And honestly, I hope you are. But you definitely can't count on it. Just like I don't plan my day based on the fact that I'm about to win the lottery. You know, like I don't go forward like, oh, I think I'll win the lottery today. Tomorrow I'll buy a mansion. So let's talk reality. Something happened to me not long after that Etsy shop started to kind of go and started to work for me. And it was kind of a game changer for me. After we decided to move from the UK, we'd sold the house. And for the first time in my life, I actually had a savings account because I just sold a house. So I literally had the only savings account I'd ever had in my entire life. And I landed back in the US with absolutely no clue what to do next. The money just kind of sat in my bank account staring at me. We didn't know where we were going to live or what in particular we were going to do. So we weren't in any hurry to buy another house. And I was pretty sure that I didn't even know where we wanted to go or like what we would even do with said house or if we could even afford said house. So I decided to kind of take some action and talk to some friends who are more financially savvy than me and ask them what real adults do with their savings account because I had no idea. So one of my friends recommended that I try the stock market and actually talk to a financial advisor. And I was like, that sounds like adulting. I'll do that. So I sent a bunch of tax returns to a trusted broker. I scheduled a consultation. I sat down. I talked with her. And yeah, it was weird. If you've ever walked into one of these offices, it's like super fancy upscale. And there I was like in my unfortunate hipster sweatshirt and skinny jeans, like legit beanie and all. It was not my best fashion moment. And I was super hyper aware the second I walked in and saw a gadrillion men in suits and like their super fancy lobby and everybody was hyper dressed up. And I was like, wow, I do not belong here. And I kind of felt like people with money, this is how they behave. This is how they look. And like, I'm not one of these people. So what am I doing here? That wasn't really true, but it just all felt a little bit weird and alienating, right? So as it turned out, the broker wasn't fazed by my outfit or my total ignorance of all things financial. And I kind of talked to her for a while. And eventually, I got up the courage to kind of ask the question I really wanted to know, which was, what is the best way to guarantee that I grow my savings, even if I'm not able to contribute huge amounts every single month? And she was like, Jenny, your business has given you year over year a 300% return on any money that you put into it. And she was like, there is no stock, bond, fund, investment, anything that will ever do that for you. And I was kind of looking at her thinking to myself, Like, you're supposed to be taking my money right now. Why are you recommending not stocks when you're a stockbroker? I was so confused. I just assumed that she was going to put me into some box with other people and be like, this is how you run your money. And that wasn't what happened at all. She kind of stopped and explained herself a little bit because I think she could tell I was like, wait, what's happening? And she was like, we can invest some of your money, but at the end of the day, you have a clear answer for growth. And that answer is to invest in yourself and your business because it's doing better than anything else out there. And I was kind of like freaking out in shock. Like, I think I just sat there with my mouth open staring at her. Like, she was a certified financial expert spending her entire adult life doing the stuff that I do not understand at all. And she was telling me that my business was the best investment I could possibly make. And of course, I didn't understand initially that that basically meant when I put money into the business to grow it, it continued to grow. And I was just creating more and more money by doing that and more possibility for myself as a result. And I was just kind of like, So she actually recommended that I take half of the house sale money and invest it back into the business, which felt absurd. I think the most money I'd ever spent at that point was once we bought a used car for $2,000. And I was like, oh my God, that's so expensive. I think I paid it off over 2 years. Like, really was like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. I had a friend who sold me this car and I literally basically got them to let me make monthly payments because I was freaking out. And so it was weird. It was disorienting. That investment ultimately turned out to be pretty worth it. I made quite a few investments in the business with that money. It changed a lot. It grew my income by well over, I think, 150 or 170% that year. It was obscene. And I was just shocked. It was weird because so many people consider, you know, a house is a good investment or a bunch of Google shares. But you know what? Ultimately, all that shit's really unpredictable. As we're seeing, especially right now, we don't know what's going to happen. We could have another 2008 debacle. The housing market could plummet. Our government could set shit on fire. Who knows? And there's kind of no such thing as a safe investment, but there is such a thing as an investment you can control. And for me, that investment is my own business and myself. And that's really weird, I know, but it basically means that a lot of times when it comes to spending extra money that the business makes, I will spend it on the business because I can fully predict my ability to work hard for myself. I can fully predict how hard I will work if I take a class or learn something new. And I know I can squeeze every last drop out of something if I choose to invest in it and it has anything to do with me taking action because I have a history of taking action. And if that's you and you know that about yourself, then ultimately, sometimes deciding to feed your own business so that it can grow a little bit can be the best possible thing for you. Now, I'm not saying that's true in every case, but I am saying this was kind of a life-changing experience for me that sort of changed my mindset and how I approached money in general and how I looked at where I should put things instead of just like aggressively paying myself, you know, or putting everything into a savings account. Like, that's how I thought you were supposed to adult. It started to look a little bit different than that, you know? So basically, since you know whether you're going to work your ass off or slack all day, you can predict investing things into yourself and your own way of learning new things or your way of growing your business or growing your skill set or whatever it is that you want to do. So it's kind of interesting because it's more predictable. So what I want to do during this financial series is kind of talk through some of the hard financial lessons I learned, the mistakes that have been made, not to mention some things that you can do whether you're making money with your Etsy shop or not yet, and some things that you can try that might help you out or some things that you can try to make yourself feel more financially secure and sleep better at night because I know that those things have changed my life and the way that I feel day to day more than anything else I've done in my entire business. Feeling like I have a handle on things and I don't have to worry about it, or I don't have to secretly ignore it, because that's what I was doing for years, was pretending I had a handle on it and actually completely ignoring it or completely refusing to do anything and just claiming I was bad at math so that I didn't have to think about it. Those are all things that it's easier to fix than you think. And I hope this series helps you. So this is going to be a 5-part series. This was part one, and the next two are going to be free, because I think everyone deserves to get a good handle on how they feel about their finances. And it's really taboo subject. So I really want to kind of take you guys through the weird things that happen to me and be as honest as possible, so we can look at how that cannot happen to you, or how you can fix it if it's already happened to you. So thank you so much for listening to me babble today. I'm super excited to talk with you next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to tell if you are working too many hours, if you're not charging enough for your services, and we're going to tell a story about a seller who was actually doing so much work that it wasn't possible for her to make real money. And this is something I see with Etsy sellers all the time. They don't realize that their prices are actually too low for them to make any reasonable amount of money at all. They just think, oh, well, I made 5 sales today. Great. But what they don't realize is that those 5 sales are never going to allow them to quit their job or make significant income. And they just made $5 profit, which, by the way, is not worth an hour of your time. $5, you are worth way more than $5 an hour. So I can't wait to talk money with you next week, and see you then. Bye.